Would you be interested in us interviewing you on your craft work?
I don't know, what are you doing?
Okay, you go ahead.
I'll let you have a copy of this and you can have a look and see what, maybe you'd be interested.
When were you born?
July 15th, 36.
And are you from Oneida?
Yes, I am.
How long have you been a language teacher?
Been teaching now for 13 years.
What kind of training did you have to get in order to be a language teacher?
I got my training funded by the federal government for language teachers, and we went to, the first year we went to Brantford, and then Paris, Ontario for the second year, and then the last 2 years we spent at University of Western Ontario, year in college. Mm-hmm. And then this past summer, I had to get my another, this came from the provincial government, so I had to go back to school again this past summer, but I've got my what is it they call it, or at least I'm able to teach anywhere.
Was part of your training getting a BA, or is it that it was a variety of courses?
This is usually just for the native language teachers, and it involved, we didn't get any credits for it, but we worked with a linguist who had worked on Iroquoian languages, mm-hmm. and methodology, we had a teacher teaching us methods, and just like what they do when they're going through to be a teacher.
When you were a child growing up, did your family all speak Oneida?
Oh yes, that was the only we ever communicated, was speaking our language.
Excuse me. So English was your second language?
Yes. Then? Yes, it was.
What was your experience growing up in the schools here? What was the attitudes of the teachers around language learning when you were a girl?
I can't say I had any problems. I don't know whether the teacher that we had was easy on us, because I don't ever remember her saying, "You can't speak your language," but then I didn't spend too much time going to school on reserve. My father would take us off the reserve during the winter, usually, because our house was so cold. Mm-hmm. And so I went to school, most of my learning was in London. Mm-hmm. But I never ever encountered any problems with the whites. Mm-hmm. And then when I think back now, probably the reason for that was there was so many other ethnic groups there. I went to school with Jewish, Greeks, Chinese, Japanese, Italians, and maybe this was the reason why I never had any problems.
What school in London did you go to?
Governor Simcoe. That building is no longer there. Really?
Closed, yes.
For heaven's sake.
Last year. I wondered, because when you were describing the neighborhood, I taught Simcoe and then went to Aberdeen.
Oh, yeah.
All the Simcoe kids then went over to Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. Taught there for about 6 or 7 years.
Oh, yes, that's where I went to school. And I felt so bad when I went back one time and that building was gone.
It was a wonderful, mm-hmm. wonderful. As a matter of fact, they were going to burn up a lot of the stuff from that school, and one of the things I said, I have to have a souvenir from this school, because it was such
an interesting neighborhood to work in. So I have the big picture of the queen that used to hang
Well, when I first went to that school, my mother and my grandmother, my grandmother and grandfather lived on Simcoe, right there in the corner of Simcoe and Clarence. And we moved in with my grandparents just for until we found an apartment. But then it was decided that me and my aunt and I were going to have to start school. And because they were so shy, there was no way they were going to take us to the school because it meant they were going to have to talk to the principal. And so they asked this other girl. She's gone. I don't know where she is. Yeah.
Are you teaching?
Mm-hmm.
Are you teaching her?
This is Jeanette LaBelle, Claudia.
Grade 3.
I'm Betsy Jeff.
Sorry to coming on your meeting.
That's all right.
And I was saying they got this lady who I guess was a cousin or something or niece of my grandmother's, and she said, I want you to take these girls over to the school. So she took us, and they were having morning exercises there. You know how they used to all assemble in the, you know, in that main lobby. And we stood there, just stood there outside the office when they finished, and the principal come over and start talking to us. Well, then we didn't know what he was talking about. Nobody would answer him, you know, he'd say something and we just stood there because we didn't know what he was talking about. So he went and got one of the pupils from the, I guess, you know, a higher grade to come down to see if she knew us. And of course she did because she was also an Oneida. So then she was our interpreter. We had to tell her what our names were, or she told the principal what our names were and who our parents were in that.
That's making noise. Is that what you interfere with that?
I'm hearing the noise.
Yeah,
okay.
So yeah, one of the reasons why I was interested in this project was my number of years teaching in that area, where usually a fifth of my class were Native children, and there just simply weren't enough, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't know enough then, and it always bothered me that we were doing so much work with the children and with the families, and we didn't know enough about the culture to know how to
mm-hmm.
respond. You know, we could all describe what certain things we noticed about learning patterns and whatnot, but we didn't know enough. So that was one of my reasons for going into this project,
mm-hmm.
was things that I wanted to learn for myself, because I'm still teaching. What made you choose to go into language teaching?
I was just asked, really, by this young man who was on I can't remember what his title was at the time, but he asked me if I'd be interested in teaching because the language teacher that was teaching before that had quit. And while I thought about it, I thought, well, gee, I've never ever taught. Well, I wouldn't know one thing about, you know, teaching, especially language. And he said, well, I'll give you maybe a few weeks to think about it. I said, okay, I'll think about it, and then I'll let you know. Well, then I thought, it would be good. It would mean I would be working, you know, in a community. My kids would probably see me more often than they had been because I was working in town. So then I decided I would. I'd give it a try. But there was just nothing, no curriculum, just nothing. As a matter of fact, I guess when I decided that I would, I went into his office. He had an office at the Ben office over here. And I said, what am I going to teach? You know, I've never ever taught. And he said, well, I'll just write some things down and you think about what, you know, take this in to the classroom tomorrow and start teaching. Well, it was like 15 minutes think it was 10 or 15 minutes in kindergarten, about 20 minutes with the other classes. I thought, well, I should be able to do it. But there was nothing, there was no pictures, just nothing. I had to make up my own things. So the things that he had down there, like days of the week, weather, foods, colors, you know, like the basic things that you would, you know, want to know. Well, and then that summer was the first year that they had a course for native language teachers, and that was in Brantford. And I went. It was good. Half the time I didn't know what in the world was going on because I hadn't been in school in a few years, you know. So, and then having a linguist, you know, talk about our language to us, I thought, how can she do that? Because it was a non-native, you know. Mm-hmm. How could she teach us anything about our language? But she did, and I was so amazed. I was, you know, I'd come home on weekends, that's all I talk about, all the stuff that we were learning. It was really, was really excitable for me because I, you know, I knew my language, but never ever thought anything more, breaking it down to know what this means and what it has a, just like an English language, you know, it has a prefix and it has a suffix, you know. So it was really quite interesting.
Did you find yourself after that appreciating your language more?
A whole lot more. I taught for, I guess, 2-3 years when I realized then that there was more to teaching a language than, you know, just teaching it. Because all of a sudden I found out I didn't know that much about myself as being a native person. I've always, I guess, talked with my mom and dad in the language. And I knew my father's belief was the longhouse. And I knew what he sometimes would have to do to pass a ceremony. We'd come back for different ceremonies that he would have to pass. But that's all I knew, really. And I really stopped to think. I thought, well, I'm going to have to learn more about myself and what I know because I'm going to have to teach the kids that, too, because they really have to feel good about themselves. And it's a sometimes I feel like it's a losing battle because I'm trying to teach them so much. It's hard in this day and age, I guess, because there's TV, so much violence, and I can be telling them one thing and. They get home, they turn TV on, and there's nothing but violence, and they come back, and they're violent with each other, and fighting and hitting, and it's like, I say, it's almost like a losing battle.
Why did you want to teach in the beginning?
Well, why did I want to teach? To be close to my children. My own children, because I used to have to go into work in London, and that meant sometimes I wouldn't see them until at night. I'd leave so early in the morning to be able to get to work on time, and then I'd come home at night or in the evening, and I thought, well, this way at least I'll be home. I'll see them off when they go to school, and I'll be home when they come back. But it's...
Isn't there anything else you'd get out of it besides being around your children?
I guess I've always thought about teaching, but not language. I just never ever thought there'd be a time where we'd want to or we'd have to teach our language. It just never occurred to me that's what was going to happen, that we're going to be losing this language. Because there, at that time, there were so many people yet, so many people that spoke it. But even now, there's a lot. There's a lot of people that's died off. And
did you ever hear of a story being told that this is the year of the seventh generation and you're in one of the generations, that if you don't teach what it is you know and pass it on to the children now, that they're not going to have nothing to come back to?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that?
I believe that. I also believe that probably I might be the last generation for Native speakers. It's scary. In a few years' time, if that would happen, our elders, the rest of the elders, would be gone. And maybe I'd be gone whenever we need a ceremony. That has to be passed in our language. And we wouldn't have anybody. That's the scary part. Because there's a lot of times when there's sickness, even the white doctors can't help out. You have to go to your own. And in order to, you have to speak the language.
So that the language is like a gateway to all the other parts of the
mm-hmm.
culture.
Do you feel that even if it was an Oneida language that, even if it was Oneida language that was lost, and the United people went to a different language, do you think that that would eventually come back? Just like Ojibwe people maybe might be able to go to Odawa or...
Because
in the States, the Native people came from the States, so in order to, they brought the dialect with them.
Mm-hmm.
So Oneida might be in the States, maybe it's called something different in the States. Like Potawatomi is actually Ojibwe,
mm-hmm.
shortened down
mm-hmm.
Ottawa, Ojibwe.
Right now in the Mohawk country in Ganawaga, Quebec, they're teaching immersion. And Mohawk is very similar to Oneida. It means we understand each other. I think probably, and they're so, they've been having immersion classes now for the last 3-4 years, you know. When they want some, they go after it. They have what they call a survival school, where they just took their kids right out of the high schools and put them, and now they've got a beautiful building, and it's called a survival school. And that's where they teach their high school kids.
What would you think about that kind of thing here on the Oneida Reserve? Do you think that is what's necessary to really preserve the
language? I think so. Well, as a matter of fact, they're talking about having an immersion school. And they've got the laneway put in.
They're having like a language project coming up not too long from now, because I attended some of the meetings. Are you going to be attending that to find out?
Which one is this?
It's coming down from out west, and then what they're going to do is they're going to have a meeting here on the reserves with three reserves here.
Oh yeah.
And then they're going to take it from there and go to Kettle Point and talk there. And what they want to do is they want to gather, as they're coming down, they want to gather more people. So I don't know what other reserves that, but the last one I heard was Kettle Point.
Well, I know there's a meeting there next week, next Tuesday.
They were supposed to get back to me the other time, so I don't know. But I was wondering if you would be willing to teach. Okay, let's say I'm Ojibwe and I
mm-hmm.
decided, well, maybe it's good to learn two languages. Would you be willing to teach me Oneida? Or do you feel that Oneida is just for Oneida?
I don't feel
because
that way.
Because I know that a lot of people... people sometimes feel that that's not right, mm-hmm. that you should learn your own language. Mm-hmm.
I think in this time and age, it's too late to think that way anymore. You better, right. You know, we're lucky over here in Oneida that we have as many speakers as we do. Like, I also sing with on a choir. And everybody that is on that, a member of that choir, we're all Oneida speakers. So we're having choir practice tonight. Everybody, well, I guess except for the one man and his wife. You know Fred Jameson? Do you know him?
I heard of him.
They don't speak Oneida, but the rest of us are all speakers of the language. So we're lucky that way, that we're still speaking
Oneida. The parents of the children that you teach, would they be speakers? So that's harder than to reinforce the language.
Very hard.
Is there a special way you teach your children? What way do you teach?
Well, like say with the kindergartens, I feel a lot depends on that first year they come in here, and I try and teach them as much as I can. Like when I went to summer schools. Different years I went to summer schools, they always say, don't expect the kids to start speaking it in kindergarten. Why not? If they were being taught French, they would expect them to start talking. I never listened to anybody. I just go ahead and do what I want. And the 4-year-olds now, they can say their names in Oneida. They say, this is my name. I'm this many years old, I'm 4 years old. My mother's name is so-and-so, and my father's name, my grandma, my grandpa. And we go through everything that's up here, colors, and community helpers, animals, foods, body parts, and whatever I can think of, I try and teach them.
Do you ever use the circle in your teaching?
Mm-hmm.
The earth circle? And do you find that by using the circle in the work that you do, do you find that the kids pick up a little easier?
Oh, yes. The very first day when I start teaching in the fall, because I don't use any English at all, and I'll introduce myself. And I know none of these kids speak it or probably don't even hear it at home. Maybe at grandma's. So I'll introduce myself in Oneida, and then I'll say to them, whoever's next to me, what's your name? And it seems like they know already what I'm talking about. And they give me their name. They'll say what their name is. And you, but no, in Oneida. And we'll go right around and they can, really tell me what their names are.
Do you ever try to get their parents involved? Like have like a parents day where they come and you teach their parents on a parents day? Like almost like a setting like an auditorium room where you're saying, this is your daughter here.
Yeah. Not so much that way. I remember a couple years ago I had open house in Oneida language.